a few Shabbos stuff, Sadi Hey. The Mishnah had said that according to Rabbi Elazar, a woman is chayiv for braiding her hair, painting her eyes, and straightening her hair. The Gemara tries to identify which malacha is violated when a woman does these three things. Am Rabbi Yevon, Am Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Braiding is mishum oreges, it's considered weaving. Painting her eyes is mishum koseves, it's considered writing. Straightening her hair is mishum tove, it's considered to be spinning. Rabbi Avohu holds, painting her eyes is mishum tzava'as, considered to be dying. The Gemara quotes a braisa that applying any makeup on the face, not just painting the eyes, may be considered tzava'a. Both braiding and straightening the hair is considered bona, building. We learn that braiding hair can be called bona because Chazal interpret Hashem building Chava, vayiven es hatzela, to mean that Shekila HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chava, he braided her hair. So we see that braiding is associated with building. With all three of these activities, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer li atzma patura l'chaver t'chayavas. She's only chayav if doing it on another person. But since she can't do as good a job when she does it on herself, she's patur if she tries to do it on herself. The Gemara then discusses other activities that are asked to do on Shabbos. Tanu Rabbanan hacholev v'amechabet v'amegabet kegrogros. A person is only chayav for milking an animal, straining milk, and making cheese if he did these things in the measure of at least a grogros, a dried fig. After Rabbi Nachman ben Gurya failed to explain clearly which malacha each of these activities is associated with, the Gemara explains that milking is mefarik, removing something from inside something else, which is a total of dash. Straining milk is borer, sorting, and making cheese is bonus building. Sweeping a dirt floor, sprinkling water on a dirt floor, and removing honeycombs from a beehive are all asr on Shabbos. Rav Lazar holds that these things are all asr midaraisa, but the Chachamim hold they're only asr midrabanan. The Gemara mentions three important kulas when it comes to sprinkling water on a dirt floor. First, amemar shara zilcha b'machuzah, since the entire risk of sprinkling water on dirt floor is out of a concern of dilma asila shvi gumos, that you may come to even out the holes in the ground, amemar allowed sprinkling on stone floors that don't have any holes. Second, rochets panav b'zavazu, yadav b'zavazu, raglav b'zavazu, a person can wash different parts of their body or wash dishes in different parts of the house, and the water that spills will serve the purpose of keeping the dirt down, and that's okay. And finally, since we hold that Rabbi Shimon, like Rabbi Shimon, that Davashen Miskabin is mutter, you can even sprinkle water on the floor, because even though it might even out the holes on the floor, that's not your intention. It's Davashen Miskabin, so it's mutter. Hatolish meyotz tznakov. If a person picks a plant from a flower pot with a hole in it, Tanakama says he's chayav for kotzer, but Rabbi Shimon says he's potter because the plant is not considered to be mechubel lekarka, it's not attached to the ground to begin with. The Gemara asks that it seems Rabbi Shimon holds that even the contents of a pot with a hole in it are not considered to be attached to the ground, but Rabbi Shimon taught in a braisa that the contents of a natzitznakov cannot become susceptible to tumah because they are considered to be attached to the ground. The Gemara answers that when it comes to hechsher zrayim, we're more lenient because hatora rips a tara etzel zrayim. The Torah goes out of its way to apply tara to seeds. A certain old man raises the question of whether Rabbi Shimon would even consider Natsatnakov to be detached from the ground if there are roots right by the hole. While Rabbi Zeru didn't have an answer to this question, he did say that if the hole is so big that the pot would not be considered a kli, and the hole was so low on the pot that it couldn't hold a revius of liquid, even Rabbi Shimon would agree that the contents of the pot are considered to be attached to the ground. Amar Rava, Chamesh Midos B'Kli Charis. Once we're discussing pots with holes, the Gemara lists five types of holes and what the halachic ramifications of each of them are. Nikev Kamotzi Mashka, if the hole is big enough for water to leak from it, it would not be considered a usable shard, but a normal kli with such a hole is still considered to be intact. Nikev Kakones Mashka, a hole big enough to allow water to enter the kli, which would have to be a little bit bigger, would make the kli invalid for the preparation of paraduma ashes, which has to be mixed with water in a kli, but plants growing in it are still considered to be detached from the ground. Nikev Kishorish Katan, if the hole can fit a small root, any plant growing in it is considered attached to the ground, but the kli itself can still become tumma. It still has a din of a kli because it's a functional kli. Nikev Kamotzi Zesim, if the hole is big enough that olives would fall through it, we no longer consider the kli a usable kli at all and cannot become tame unless you designate it to be used for larger fruits like pomegranates. But if Nikev Kamotzi Rimonim, if the hole is so big that even pomegranates would fall through, then the kli is tahar. But unless it is a small kli, it can still protect its contents from becoming tame in an ol hames, a room with a dead body in it, if it's mukaf tzam seal, if it's sealed properly. If, however, the hole is so big that it covers the majority of a large kli, then it can't even protect its contents from tuma in an ol hames.